Hey everyone, welcome back to the Revenue Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Cornish. This is episode 14. We're talking about why your deal won't close, why you can't close your deal. This is specifically for B2B, and I have had on my whiteboard, I have a whiteboard outside of my office that I kind of work with the sales team. And, just kind of documenting key reasons why deals don't close. And these things tend to come up over and over again. It's not a complete list. There's probably other things on there as well, but these are key. So I thought I would just kind of go through these for you in terms of what hurts your deals and what hurts closing your deals. So number one, I should really do this in reverse, to be honest. I mean, because it's, you know, number one's the most important. It's best to leave it for last. But number one is wrong person. I cannot stress that enough. I've seen it a million times. I've closed tens of millions of dollars in deals. And wrong person. If you're in B2B, what happens is you go sell a deal, let's say to the wrong person, and you take it too far with that wrong person, and now you have to take it to a stakeholder, the actual right person, or multiple right people. Usually there's only one right person, but there could be multiple right people. You have to now take it to them and essentially sell it from the get-go, but you've invested so much time with the wrong person that you're stuck. And because you've started with the wrong person, you've taken to the wrong person, you're now stuck and they can't do anything. You're constantly pushing them and they're going, I'm waiting to hear back, or a whole bunch of problems that come up, and they delay and they go out of communication and so on and so forth. This is why people say, oh, our runway takes a long time or a long time to close. But it's really just if you went to the right person out the gate, if you did your homework and you knew who that right person was, you knew their title, you did that qualification up front, you did whatever you want to call it. Some people say qualifying the sales. That's fine. You've got to get the right person nailed down. You've got to know that you have the right person. If you get to the right person and you sell them through your stages, whatever your stages are, for us, it's like discovery, proposal review, sauna handling, asking, closing, logistics. If you did that and you sold the right person out the gate, it is going to shorten your runway. The number one thing, and I've trained many, many sales reps over the years. I've personally closed tens of millions of dollars over the years. And I can tell you the number one thing is wrong person. So when you look at your deal, when you have red flags and like they say, oh, they're waiting to hear back, or they're taking to their boss, or they're taking someone else, or, you know, even sometimes the wrong person will tell you that they have the authority to sign. They say, oh, I'm the person. You're like, great. If I sent this over to you today, is this something you could sign? Yeah, I can sign it. Okay, is there anyone else that has to approve it before you do that? Well, so-and-so. It's like, now you know. You know, and so you have to get really good at sort of digging in and finding out, do you actually have the right person? You should also know your titles in your space. You got to know titles. You got to know who's who. You know, and this is the difference between a buyer versus a user. The buyer can sign contracts, can make deals, has a P&L. The user is somebody who's actually going to be using the actual service or product or whatever. And 9 times out of 10, the user is not a buyer. So wrong person is problem one that you need to debug. Right? Number two is just not enough proposals. You don't have enough balls in the air. You don't have enough proposals out. You're not getting in front of enough people. And so when you look at your lineup for the day, and CRM, what do you want to call it? We got a lineup, right? So on our lineup, we write it on the legal pad. And we simply just, it's just how many proposals do you have going out, right? And when you look at your week, if you were to look at your most successful week, your most successful month, your most successful quarter, how many proposals did you send? What was the dollar figure of the proposals you sent out? Contracts, whatever you want to call it, right? Contracts, proposals you sent out. What was the dollar figure? How many did you send? And what was the dollar figure, right? Because that's what you want to emulate. Depending on your sales size, it could be, you know, for the week, it could be 5 million. For the month, it could be 20, 25 million. I don't know. But the number of proposals out and the dollar value of the proposal out has a direct correlation to the amount of sales you're going to make, right? Number three is not enough work. You literally are not doing the work. And despite saying, oh, I'm busy, I'm working, you're not doing the work. Not at the right level. And when you look at it, you go, what is the right level? It depends on your business, I would say, but it could be that you need to make 50, 60 phone calls every single day, one-to-one phone calls to the right people in order to get proposals out. You know, it could be that you need to get 50 or 100 one-to-one emails out per day. If you can't do it, you got to get an assistant, you got to get help, but you got to get it out. The work has to be done. If you're not doing the work leads to getting enough appointments books, which leads to getting enough proposals out, which leads to getting enough deals in the air, you know, deals going, deals closed. So not doing enough work. That's definitely number three. Number four would be not enough deals on the lineup, right? So when you look at your lineup, maybe you only have two or three cycles that are real. That's a problem. You really, when you look at a successful week, successful month, successful quarter, what does that look like? It could be, for the week, it could be that you need to have 15 to 20 active deals going at any one time that could close at any one time, right? If you don't have 15 deals in closing, right? In the asking, in the closing stages, in the negotiating stage, if you don't have 15 deals there, you got to build a pipe, right? Not enough deals. So how do you get enough deals? You got to go back to step three. You got to go do the work. You got to do more work in order to get enough deals in the pipe, right? Number five is, you know, this is kind of an interesting one we talk about internally, but is considerations. Considerations. Those are thoughts and ideas that stop the deal and stop you, either your own or the prospects, right? So both ways, you got to handle your own considerations on the deal. In other words, do you have any reluctances? Do you have anything that are holding it up? Do you believe you can close this deal? It starts with you. You have to believe. Then considerations on the prospect. The prospect has considerations that are uncovered, things that you unspoken, we call them unspoken considerations, things that you need to uncover for the prospect in order to get the deal closed. What are those? You got to ask questions. You got to find out. You got to ask them like, hey, listen, outside of the price or outside of the terms, is there anything else that I'm missing? Any other reason you wouldn't do this? Or, you know, do you have any reluctance? Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got to get them to spit it out. Once you have them to spit it out, then you can go move forward and get them handled and then get the deal done. So usually it's unspoken considerations, and sometimes they're on your part. Most of the time they're on the prospects, but you got to check yourself as well. Number six would be, you know, ideas for new opportunities, right? Are you bringing new ideas to the table that solve the prospect's problems, that solve their problems, that handles different things like that? Are you bringing new ideas to the table? And new ideas also in terms of where are the deals? Where are the, like, what kind of deals can you invent? How, you know, making up who to call and having ideas every single day in terms of like, what else can I do? Where else can I get deals? How else can I close a deal? What other ideas can I bring to the table? So ideas are one of the things, just lack of ideas and just falling into sort of the rote routine of like, do the same thing, and not generating any new ideas. Ideas for the prospect and ideas to come up with new people to call, new companies to call, new areas to go into, right? Number seven is, you know, we use Adobe Sign, so it could be DocuSign, but putting the actual DocuSign enough in front of enough people and asking them, right? If you're not putting an actual thing for them to sign in front of them and then asking them and saying, hey, can you sign that? Like, can you sign my DocuSign? Can you sign my Adobe Sign? If you aren't doing that enough in a given week, in a given month, you're just not going to get the deals. They can't sign it if it's not in front of them to sign, right? And then you got to follow up and you got to call them and email them and text them and whatever and be like, hey, can you sign off on that? And if you can't, you got to handle why they can't. But you've got to get them out. So when you look at your week and you look at your month, how many DocuSigns are you putting out in front of people for them to sign? Right, number eight is, we have one that's a little bit tailored to us. I'm looking at the board right now. So, you know, number eight then for this purpose would be strong follow-up. And sales process. If you don't have a sales process, number one, our sales process that we've used for years, and it's pretty simple, but it's just simply this. You get a reach or a lead, and then it goes discovery, proposal review, selling and handling, asking, closing, logistics, finance, and thank you. That's really it. So it's very simple. If you don't have a repeatable sales process and a strong model for follow-up at every single touch point and every single phase of the sales process, you're going to be in trouble. And that leads to deals not closing because you cannot methodically move it from discovery to proposal, from proposal to proposal review, from proposal review to selling and handling. And you never really orient yourself on where you are in the deal. Are you at selling and handling? Are you at proposal? Are you at asking? Where are you at? And I've talked to sales reps and trained sales reps and worked with them and said, hey, so where's the deal at? And they're like, oh, I'm at discovery. Or sometimes they'll be doing multiple discoveries. You got to orient yourself to the sales process. You got to follow up and follow through the sales process in order to methodically get it to a close. So number nine for this purpose would be, you know, you can't close, confront, and ask. And that's, in other words, you have a hard time just coming out to confront someone. I don't mean confrontational. I just mean confront and ask. I just mean being able to say the words confidently and just saying, hey, listen, John, I really like you get this thing signed off. Is there any reason why we can't get this signed off? Or can you sign this off today? Do you have everything you need? What else do you need? You know, just coming out and confronting the ask, in other words. And that's going to lead to not able to close because you could do everything right, pretty much everything right. You can sell all the way through, do a good job. They really like you. But ultimately, you gotta confront asking, right? You gotta confront asking, you gotta confront closing. And someone's gotta ask. And if you're selling, that someone is you. So you gotta be able to come out and say, hey, can you sign this today? Can you get it signed off? I wanna, let's get this concluded. You know, however you wanna say it, but you've gotta get it done. You've gotta ask them. And you know, that's going to really increase the level of deals that actually get closed. So number 10 would be not asking questions. And I have in brackets here enough. In other words, not asking enough questions. I have had so many sales reps over the years. They talk, they say things, they answer questions. They answer questions from the prospect, but they don't ask questions. You could literally ask questions from start to finish in order to close deals. It would take you, like you could sell just by asking questions, you know, and, you know, I wish there was a candid reality show where we could just prove this, but I have had deals that I've just simply asked questions all the way through. And for whatever reason, most salespeople do not ask questions. So here's what I would recommend. Write down a series of 10 to 15 questions that you could potentially ask throughout your deal from start to finish. Have them in front of you at all times. If you can't come up with questions to ask on the spot, for me, it's easy because I'm hyper curious. I've always been very curious. People say things, then I ask the next question, next question, next question. It's not a tactic to me. It's not a manipulation or anything like that. I genuinely am curious about a lot of things. I'm like, why do you guys need that? Or what are you going to be doing with this? Or how does that work? Or, you know, what's the timeline? Or when do you guys need this by? Or what, you know, whatever. It's like I just natively ask a lot of questions. And it just so happens that asking questions is very conducive to great selling. So ask questions. Not enough sales rep ask questions. They simply answer questions. That's a tiny fraction of what you should be doing. You should be asking questions in order to reveal things and move the cycle forward. Great selling is asking questions, so make sure you ask questions, and you ask enough questions. And there's always another question to ask. If you're at the very end, hey, listen. Outside of the thing you brought up, if I get that handled or we get that sort of sorted out, you know, is this something you get signed off today? You know, if I get that handled right away, or beside the terms, is there anything else you need? Or does anyone else have to see it? Or if I send this over today, are you going to be the one that signs off on it? You know, can I send this over? Should I make this proposal out in your name? You know, however you want to say it, but just asking, and also other questions all along the way to explore and find out what's the pain point, what's the need, what's going on, why are they doing this? You know, ask questions. number 11 would be not solving a problem. In other words, you got to bring value, and I don't know what you sell, but in B2B, to some degree, you're solving a problem. You're bringing a solution to the table, right? So you have to figure out, like, what are you selling? And sometimes that the sales rep has it watered down to the point of it's just, they're just selling, you know, like a contract. They're selling a dollar figure and they've lost sight of what they're selling. In other words, remember that the prospect is buying something. It's something that solves their problem. What is that thing? What's the thing that solves their problem? That's what you're selling, right? You got to figure out, you know, what problem are you solving? What's the solution? What's valuable to them, and what's going to pour the fuel on and drive them? Because the value has to be worth more than the dollar that you're asking for. And if it is, and if it truly has a ROI, or it solves a problem for them, it solves a headache or whatever it is, it's going to make it a lot easier. But if the salesperson has no idea what problem they're solving, then it makes it very hard to sell, right? And that kind of goes to the next one as well, which is number 12 is to ID the problem, okay? So you gotta first identify the problem, right? So if you can't identify the problem, you can't really solve it. So those kind of go together, but you gotta first identify the problem. Have you identified the problem? It could be stuck simply because you haven't identified the problem, right? And then number 13 would be, we talk about this, you know, here. There's really 3 points to negotiating. When you're at the final stages, in my view, there's 3 points to negotiating. You know, I've always said there's time, right? There's terms, and there's price. And I've always told my team that you can give away two. You really should only give away one. You can give away two, but you can never give away three. And if you give away all three, you gave away high ground. Now you're at low ground. You have nothing, no basis to get the deal closed. You have no leverage whatsoever. So in other words, like, you can give away terms, but then hold price and time. By time, I mean speed. So let's say I gave away terms. I'm going to say, look, I've given you your terms. Here's the price, and my ask in exchange for that would be, can we get this thing signed off this week? You know, so I'm going to ask for speed. But I'm never going to give away all three. I'm not going to give away price. I'm not going to reduce price. I'm not going to give away terms, and I'm not going to give away speed when it's just willy-nilly. They can sign it whenever. Here's this great price. Here's this great terms. And by the way, just sign it whenever the heck you like. That's not a good tactic, right? So try to hold two, give away one, try and hold two. If you can, then try and hold all three, but never give away all three. So those are really, you know, the key things to why maybe your deal's not closing, or you're not getting the outcomes you want, and things like that. That was 13 points. For our board, there was 14 points because we had one that was more native to us, but I hope that helps. That's, you know, some points to listen to it again, go back over them, take a look at your deals and see if any one of those points are snagged on your deal. All right, hope that helps, and I'll have more coming at you soon.